Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai, and welcome to episode 114 of Little Things for Bonsai People. And it is the year 2025, the year of the snake. And this time I am joined by a special guest, Adam Levine. How's it going, Adam?
It's going okay.
It's going okay because
I am exhausted from the 2025 Bonsai Societies of Florida convention, and I have been with Laurent Darieu since Tuesday evening.
If you can pick up any background noise, this was recorded in one track, so more than likely Matt's going to leave this raw with a little bit of light touch-up, because he's going to be so pissed off. There's actually a bit of an audience behind us, some participants of the BASF. Oh, he's cracking up. He's locked in it. Laurent Darieu is in the background. He was headlining the BASF with us, and he is locked in a giggle right now, and it's adorable. We're just letting him have his moment. Anyway, yeah, like we said, we have Adam here, and we're going to be recapping our BASF weekend and adventure. And I was going to get some background information on Adam. We've never had him on. It's been a long time coming. We had him on the YouTube channel from Underhill Bonsai's channel where we talked about yopons. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was fun. So,
I didn't actually watch it yet because you didn't send me a link.
Yeah, it's on there. I'm really bad about that. Usually I just send it and my social media people just make it happen.
Oh, okay.
You gonna be all right, buddy?
He's getting more wine.
he needs more wine. But anyway, so before we get to talking about Adam and talking about the convention, we do need to mention that our podcast is sponsored by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/littlethingsforbonsaipeople. Head on over there to become a bonsai best bud and hang out in the Discord with these amazing people. Yes, I'm reading from a script. So we have so many patrons now that we just shout out their names at the end of each episode. So if you are a bonsai best bud, you get your name shouted out at the end. But if you're a specimen best bud, you get shouted out at the beginning of every episode. That's pretty awesome, right? But we do need to mention that our show is sponsored by Joshua Roth Tools and also Underhill Bonsai. You're welcome. And our specimen best buds is going to start with Unra Yuin, Rick in Australia. Thank you so much. Mark McWilliams, J. David Tolbert, and of course, the anchor best bud, specimen best bud, Bill's Bayou, Bill Butler.
Oh, Bill, really?
Yep.
Hi,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah, he listens to all the episodes, too. If we
really?
Any comments, he always mentions to me later on. Yeah.
I haven't used the new soil yet, Bill. Sorry.
I'm sure he'll forgive you. Yep. But yeah, like we said, thank you so much, John, for sponsoring the show as well from Joshua Roth Tools. And I know he also sponsored one of the awards two of the awards that was awarded for BASF this week. And that was really amazing. So yeah. Oh, and then I can't go much further without mentioning our editor, Matt O'Donnell. He makes us sound smart.
Sorry, Matt.
Yep, sorry. This one's going to be tough. He cleans up our audio and makes us enjoyable to listen to. So you can go to mattodonnell.com to contact him and to maybe start your own podcast show or audio engineering. Yeah, I'm stumbling at the reel.
Would you like me to read it for him? I'm pretty good at
that. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Grub, start like wherever you want.
He is a set basis living in Nashville, Tennessee, and is just an all-around awesome guy. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, it's in the script, and Adam said it this time. All right, so BASF convention. How do you feel? How does it feel to come right off the back end of it? Because you guys put this together every year.
Yes.
And you've been directing this convention for how long?
I'm not good with numbers. Somebody in the background, Catherine, tell me how. Four?
About 15 at least?
No. I've been helping probably about 15 or 18 years, but I think I've been...
You've been running it by yourself the last 3 years.
Last 3 years. That's my...
Even though you were co-chair.
I was co-chair several years. That's it. No.
Well, I mean, like, running a convention, especially for, like, how many clubs are in Florida?
28 clubs in Florida, about 900 members.
Yeah, I always brag on how many clubs are actually in this state. It's pretty incredible compared to the rest of the United States. There's quite a few.
It's a big state. You can compare it to California, but don't compare it to California because we get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
It might have something to do with other things related that are not bonsai related. But yeah, so yeah, I just wanted to see how you felt coming off the back end of it. You feel it was successful or?
Well, I feel tired first. Yeah. I think it was very successful. I'm not the numbers guy. That's going to be Steve and my wife, Rebecca, and Barbara Poglich, who is retiring this year. But I think it went well. I'm trying to read his script there. 19 countries are listening to Little Things. Australia? No, it's
Australia. No, that was a recap thing. I left notes on here. Thanks for.
That'll come later in the program. I apologize.
No, don't read anything else. Don't look at the script.
Well, but I cannot not read it. So turn it a little bit to the left there.
It's also one of those things, like this episode is going to be recorded like just right in the moment. Like Adam is right here. This is one of the first times
in
a long time.
Jew.
That I've actually had a guest with me. Normally it's just me and Carmen or another guest phoning in from somewhere else. So it's a rare occasion that we have someone right here. So that's why it's so awkward, because I couldn't figure out technology.
Yeah. Can you please take your hand off of my knee?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. You're wearing a really bright shirt, but we're both in Hawaiian shirts this season.
Yeah. Well, no, mine is Papa Smurf.
Yeah. Papa Smurf.
Yep. See right there. Papa.
But are you Papa Smurf? I'm just wondering.
People are calling me that.
That's what you've been called.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Laurent's been calling me Teddy Bear. We don't want to know why.
He's being really quiet. Where did he go?
He's outside smoking a cigarette.
Oh, that's why it's so toned down right now. I was wondering why it was so quiet. But yeah, before we really get into like the nitty gritty of what it takes to put together BSF, I think we should appropriately introduce you. We hadn't had you on, so you can get a little bit of background. You go as far as you want to this because we have plenty of time. I know our episodes usually run a little bit longer, but don't be shy. I know you're looking around. You're trying to gauge the way that you're going to approach this.
No, I just do not like talking about myself.
Oh, but
So I was born in a little town in Massachusetts called Taunton. It is now the heroin capital of Massachusetts. So sorry about that. In very interesting thing to know, I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts, which is like 5 miles away from a place called Stoughton. And if anyone out there who knows, Stoughton, Massachusetts is where Sutin, the one true master in the United States, lives.
Yep.
But I never knew him. I did once walk to Boston and took all night to walk there. And I walked past his nursery and I remember the huge fences and the foo dogs and all the trees in the background. But I was not interested in that at the time. I was a painter, sculptor,
yeah.
and that's my artistic background. I also play guitar, but that has nothing to do with the bonsai.
Did you ever go to school for any of your artistic background endeavors?
Well, my high school, it used to be the biggest high school east of the Mississippi. Brockton High School, City of Champions, go Boxers. Yay. So to give you an idea, our fine arts building is bigger than most high schools in the whole country.
Mm.
So I did everything from pottery to watercolor to drawing and painting and sculpture and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, my first bonsai came from Sam's Club.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
sense.
And
it is dead, but I do have a cutting off of that.
Oh, that's awesome. What type of tree was it?
Well, what do you think? It was a Procumbens nana, or as they say in Louisiana, a green mound.
The green mound juniper. I don't know why that's odd to other people. Is that just not common for that to be called green mound?
We call it a Japanese garden juniper.
Okay.
That
sounds better, actually.
But Juniperus Procumbens nana is probably the correct way to say it for you few horticulturalist nerds out there.
Yeah. This is a pretty nerdy show. We get into Latin names and stuff, so.
Okay. There
as long as they know what you're talking about. I was assuming from Sam's Club it would be like a tiger bark ficus, but.
No, it's just a stupid little juniper.
Because I don't know. I'm not trying to offend you, but back when you started bonsai, tiger bark was in the scene, or if it was mostly junipers. Not saying that.
Well, back when I started, there was how old I am? Thank you.
Yeah.
There was no real scene when I started. It was in Orlando, Florida. It was around, 99 or 2000 or something like that.
That's okay. So that's about the time you would say you were getting into bonsai.
Yeah. Is that when you were born?
What, 99?
How old are you?
That would make me like, dude, I wish I would have been 20 still. No. I'm 35. No.
But you have such a cute face, man.
I can't get it from my mother. Anyway, so first bonsai, and then is there anywhere else that kind of went from there? Or was it just kind of, well, I was struck by it?
I was struck by it. So it began, I bought a house with my wife and met a small family. Mm-hmm. And in Florida, when you have a house, you have to have plants because if you don't, the jungle takes over.
Yep.
Not saying that it has not taken over since doing bonsai, because I don't know how many trees there are now, but the ficus are encompassing the benches now. Mm-hmm. So if you come to my nursery, you'll be like, what is that thing growing over there?
Yeah, because things kind of just fall off the benches in Florida and just start growing on the ground all the time.
Yeah, Laurent actually came to my nursery and he's like, oh my God, what is this? It's like Cambodia. But he actually had to cut a tree off that he wanted to work on off the bench.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And he took it as about 6 feet tall, and now it's only about 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yep.
He reworked it. So you also run a blog post site called?
The address is adamasky.com.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard of it, and if you're not one of those people that doesn't just scrounge the internet for any information on bonsai, especially in the earlier days, you were one of the first bonsai bloggers that I actually followed. Oh. One of the first, but you were one of the first ones I had followed.
You know, one of the first I followed was Peter T.
Yep. And I don't know if Peter T's still doing stuff like that.
No, it's been moved to a different web address.
Yep. Yeah. And bonsai blogging, I mean, blogging in general is kind of like a thing of the past now.
Well, people don't read much.
Yeah, they don't read much anymore. It's fast information. There's a lot of short form videos. YouTube's surprisingly still around. And you guys are listening to a podcast.
Yeah, so podcast is odd. It's like listening to AM radio to me.
Yep. It's because AM and
FM. Does AM still exist? No?
Yeah, it does, but it's a lot of static.
Oh, okay.
I was actually asked by an older gentleman, one of the bonsai clubs one time. I was talking about the podcast. We had shirts for sale, whatever. And he came up to me. He's like, are you on AM? I was like, what frequency? Or I was like, what are we talking about? And I thought he was messing with me. And so I was.
So if you don't know, it's called modulation. Mm-hmm. Amplitude modulation. I'm sorry. There's a little whiskey involved here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. This. Matt, just let this one ride. Don't even.
No. This needs to be raw because, you know, I am blowing him.
But yeah, so where was I even at with that on your journey? Oh, yeah, yeah. So you did blogging. When did the blog posting start happening around that time? Do you remember when you made your first post?
No, it's been maybe 5-6 years.
Hmm.
There are almost 600 posts.
Yeah.
On, you know, different articles. There are a lot of progressions if you go from one to the other. A lot of interesting projects. Mm. There's a couple of book reviews. I'm waiting for a book review from Evan over here to write something.
No. Okay.
Do you know how to write? I know you're from Louisiana. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I write too much from my personal standpoint. I was talking to Chris Crescenza.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, can we get one of my articles published? He's like, you write from the time that things happen, you write from like your first person perspective too often. You need to be more informational. And that's fair.
That's boring though.
I know.
Because bonsai is a relationship between the artist and the tree.
But
so it has to be first person.
Here's something of note, because I followed your blogs. I did like the way you did talk from that standpoint. And it did inspire the way that I do write my blogs, which I don't write enough.
So when I met you, did I disappoint you?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know I'm shorter and a little bit fatter and there's too much gray hair in my beard.
No, you've lost weight. No, you're fine. So, no, yeah, like there was a point in time whenever I used to scour the internet looking for articles. I mean, it was kind of barren for a while. It wasn't like the people we think of now producing content. Yeah. Many people didn't go to Japan. There wasn't as much shared information. So, yeah, you were kind of an early, I guess you say, it's just blogging, really.
Yeah, blogging.
But it's part of the art. That you would consider, I mean, blogging is art in its own way because you have to be consistent. You have to deliver. People know you for certain tropes within your writing and your humor.
Yep.
And so they expect that when they meet you and then they're disappointed. I'm just kidding. No, but they meet you.
I can give you all an inside joke that only one person has gotten.
Okay.
So when I finish something, it's a French word. I'll put, so the French word should be voila. Voila, but I actually spell it like the musical instrument viola. And only one person in all of it, and you know, the millions of people I've read it have ever caught up on that.
It's intentional.
It is intentional, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a kidder sometimes.
Yeah, you can be.
Yep.
I've
Yeah, there was one time I was talking about Powerade, and you dry it up, and you that's what you put on your plants, and it, you know, helps them through the summer. It has all kinds of electrolytes.
Yeah.
And I had people opening up a second window to look about how to dry Powerade.
Yep. And then they looked up Idiocracy, the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And felt like a jackass after, I'm sure. No. Yeah. You have a tendency to pick and make fun, but yeah. You're also very serious about what you do. Honestly.
Yes. Yes. If you know me, I have a very gruff exterior.
Mm.
Sometimes. Remember, Laurent's calling me Teddy Bear.
Teddy Bear. Gruff but soft.
Yeah, gruff but soft. Yeah. Will you stop touching me, Laurent?
Laurent's surprisingly tame right now.
Well, he's not drunk enough, I don't think.
I took.
You had permission. Sorry, man. This is going to be really great.
That's my last day in the Bonsai World, so I would love to be in the middle of you. I don't want to take the, you know, old, you know, so rely on me,
yeah.
But I love to be part of you. Can I participate?
Yeah, okay. So
it's a Laurent sandwich.
To share. So this, dude, Matt's going to have a really great time with this. So
apologies, Matt.
No. Don't keep apologizing to me because he knows. He's sitting there and he's like dead in the chair, like skeleton.
Yep.
And he knows what's happening.
I'm not going to talk.
You can interject every once in a while. Yeah.
He's not going to talk.
Ooh.
Oh.
Hey.
Broke up in the background.
Now it's a party. That's what they say, right?
I just want to be there in the middle and just listen to you and share good moments with friends.
No, this is definitely it. So, yeah. So we have another guest, of course. So, you know, Adam reached out to me, I don't know how many months ago now, and was like, hey, do you want to headline BSF? And I was like, that's kind of flattering because I don't think I could do that because I never headlined. I've given plenty of workshops and demonstrations. I have all these other outlets that I'm plugging into. And then I had made this assumption that I wasn't ready to do it. But after doing it this weekend, I proved myself wrong because I felt confident. I had a good time with it. So, and I'm guessing I delivered right because Adam is not going to withhold my check, I'm assuming. So we did pretty well.
Well, you don't have to please me. It's the president and the treasurer. I don't do numbers.
I think Catherine was pretty happy. I mean, Catherine, the president of BSF. That's who we were with. Catherine Harris.
Catherine Harris.
Yes. Yeah. She's in the background cleaning up glass. So anyway, when I was asked to co-headline, I was like, oh, that's cool. Who's the other headliner? And they said Laurent Darrow. I said, no shit.
Can you pronounce his name correctly, please? Laurent.
Laurent Darrow. But I call him Lo. But it's okay. You know, there's no T at the end of his name, clearly. But Laurent Darrow.
Technically, you can speak French because you're fucking American, but yeah. You can try.
Yeah.
And it's funny, all three of us, that's Evan Perdu and yeah. Adam Lazigne.
Oh, wait.
French. Yeah.
So three French people
here.
That's technically, I'm in between two people that have a French name.
Yeah.
Evan Perdu and Adam Lazigne.
You didn't realize that?
Yeah, but his accent makes it sound legit.
Well, yeah.
But your second name is French, and your second name is French.
Yeah.
Adam is universal.
Yes. Adam. Yeah, so
it's a biblical name.
You know, when I introduce myself, hi, I'm Adam. To remember my name, I'm the first real man you've ever met.
Lovely.
And I don't keep verbal.
But anyway, so yeah, I was told that that Lo, I'm just calling you Lo because that's the best way to say it. Because I'm not,
you don't embarrass yourself.
That exactly. He said that's preference for friends anyway. So I heard that Lo was going to be the co-headliner, and this is your last big.
Was I a headliner? I didn't realize
you were a headliner. Yeah,
yeah. He was
always dull.
He stumbled into the Florida Hotel in Orlando, Florida, and he was like, "Wait, there's a convention going on," and then he proceeded to make really shit displays and give really shit workshops. No, he's been picking at me all weekend, so I think I'm allowed. This is probably going to also be a caution, heavy language episode, like Guy Guidry and Tommy Lee gave us unexpectedly. But yeah, but this is also the first time I've been able to record with Lo in person because we've done interviews and it's been a little rough.
By distance.
Yeah, by distance. And the audio is not that great. So this should be pretty clear. You should be able to understand what he's actually saying this time.
No, I don't think we can ever really understand.
Yeah.
Well, that's the right moment to make it. So what is the meaning of headliner, by the way? I don't understand it.
You are a headliner is the star.
Oh, what the Fuck, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, you know?
So that's the first time we're starting.
Joke about the semantics of headlining a show here. Or we could reintroduce you and say, Lorandero, and say, you're Cosmic Bonsai, but now this is your... I was joking. I would say this is your exit interview.
You had to make it
exit interview. So why are you leaving Bonsai now, bro?
Because I want to make it clear. I don't want to take the light from Adam because this is Adam Institute interview, but it's my last day in the Bonsai world.
So you're going to quit it.
So I'm going to go back and retire.
No, you're good. No. But you.
So I'm really happy to be between two friends.
But we love you.
And
we love you.
Stupid conversation, you know? But what I like is like, stupid conversation. I love it.
Yeah.
Like when you take it too seriously, I hate that because Bonsai is very serious, but humans are not.
Yes.
So I don't know if you agree with that. You agree with that?
Yeah. Let's speak a little bit closer. You're okay.
Sorry. So I believe Evan and Adam, they all believe that Bonsai is very serious, but humans are not. So you have to take your work very seriously, but you don't have to take yourself too seriously because, you know,
yes,
life doesn't make sense, so you have to give it a sense. And it's pretty hard sometimes to give a sense of life, you know. Mm. I don't know how you're feeling.
No, that's how I feel. In fact, I was going to mention, too, it's like these bonsai conventions, this is the reason why I do bonsai. You know, I get into it, and at the same time, I was like, okay, I want to do bonsai for me. And then whenever I started doing bonsai at the nursery and practicing and learning what that means and being a bonsai nurseryman, that's where the hard part came. And I was like, how the fuck do I do this? And then from there, it evolved into, well, obviously you go to conventions. That's what bonsai people do.
Yes.
And then, but you say, yes, but it's obvious to you, but it's not so obvious at first because you're like, what is this? And so I went to my first Texas convention, was asked to be a vendor there. I was like, you know, honored that time because I was like, you guys want to buy stuff from me?
Do you remember what city it was?
That was going to be I think it was San Antonio. Or it was either Houston or San Antonio. I can't remember which one. I've been to quite a few now.
You're embarrassing yourself right now.
Exactly.
His face is like red.
No, my face is red because I've been drinking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Laurent, his face is red too. So he's been.
And that's red wine. His flask all over.
He's having giggle.
Has a white face, 100%.
A giggle fit right now. I can see it in the smile lines. But anyway, no, like when I went to the Texas convention for that first time, that's where I found out that this is what it's really about. It's people, community.
Yes.
And that was talked about heavily in the wrap up ceremony, the banquet and ceremony that you guys. And it's always like brings tears to people's eyes. And that's beautiful because we're crying about little trees, but we're also emotional about.
I was supposed to tell him I was crying.
Yeah. So. Oh, no. No, Adam did not whimper and have to. No. Especially when he...
But Hiram is very emotional, so he's
we're all emotional, tone, you know?
Yeah,
we're all emotional.
Sensitive.
We're all emotional to a certain extent because we care about little plants like this.
Yes.
I mean, that has to say something, so... Yeah. But yeah, no, this made it obvious to me even more because I had been to so many conventions and had bendered at these conventions. And then every once in a while, I would sneak in a workshop, you know, be able to say, oh, I want to go do this and show some trees. I love showing trees. It's just part of who I am as well. And anyway, that's not happening.
Yeah, stop touching my leg,
yeah.
Evan.
So no, when I got to that point where I started to realize what it was more about, and then I was asked to do this, to headline the show and be here. Like, I was like, now this is something special. I can't say no to it. You know, even though my wife and my son are at home and I feel bad for that. You know, I've been gone.
Paul, no. You shit, but you got only fair. No, I have four children myself and a beautiful wife who supports me, but it is the most difficult thing to leave them.
Just in front of us.
I mean, we were sitting right after the banquet this evening,
yep.
And I was watching the video of his child going down a slide. It was
Oh yeah, he walked up and we were just watching Rory go down a slide for the first time.
When he got for it again.
Yeah, I know. Lo's like, yeah, you talk about your children a lot, but I mean, come on.
So how many children do you have? Or do you know about? I should say?
Zero.
No, you said your bonsai are your children.
There you go.
Yeah, my bonsai are my children.
I have 1,000 children then.
Mm. Many shorter, right?
Yeah, anyway. More than thousands.
Yeah, but it makes it more, like there's more at stake, but not necessarily. But it makes it feel that way because I do this for a living.
Yes.
And you do this for a living.
I do it for a living, yeah.
So
everybody does. Everybody does. Kimura does. Ryan does. Everybody does.
You know what?
Steinberger does.
We do it for a living, but we live for bonsai.
Yeah,
but we live for bonsai.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
And that's the thing, Laurent and I have been saying, if we could do it for free, we would do it for free.
We would.
Yeah. Well,
that was the question.
Well, no, you did not have to earn money.
Based off of the interview that we did, this is off. You know, this is another thing that we did. We talked about $1 million question.
Printed, you know?
Yeah. We had $10 million. And
I had a question in the podcast, in my interview yesterday.
And Adam's probably going to be different on this. But I was like,
I got to ask you the same question.
And I was like, I would go back to the nursery, go back to work, and act like I don't have $1 million and just put it somewhere.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Sit on it and live off of it. Because I don't go to work.
We do not work.
Yeah.
It's not a vocation, it's an avocation.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's it. I agree with that.
And so these conventions,
but I believe all the people that practice bonsai for a very long time think the same way.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Because we do this for money, but it's also a patient, right?
Yes.
So, but if you can avoid the money thing, we just do keep the patient. So we just do bonsai every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And unfortunately, my friend Laurent is retiring after this, and he's going to drive ambulances.
Ambulance driver, yeah.
Ambulance driver.
Would this be, because this episode,
1st of July.
This episode will be out next week, so this will be the first that people know of what's going to happen to you, I'm guessing.
No.
It was on Facebook.
I spoke about it on
an
interview already.
Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Everybody can.
Yeah, the word's out. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's an interview that, what did the red wine?
Red wine
interview.
Yeah, those.
And then he made one also. So I sent it also in the interview.
So shout out.
That's very cool. I have to say something. I don't want to cut the interview between Evan and.
Yeah, no, you're good. Go ahead.
But I made an interview with Evan in Underhill
Bonsai.
Underhill Bonsai. And Adam Lavincenzo.
Chainsaw Group.
The Chainsaw Group?
Well, the Chainsaw Group is a study group of my students.
Yeah.
So you prefer to keep your personal name, like Adam Levine?
It's Adam Levine. Adam asked why is my internet.
So Adam asked
what internet handle.
Internal. So
I would like to talk about
I was in the middle, so I do the interview with both of them. So, and I said during the interview that I'm going to be an ambulance driver, so.
Yep. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, so like I was going to say, shout out to Lorodero for doing his red wine interviews. You can find that on YouTube. Go over there and subscribe to see what's
going on. Don't subscribe.
Don't subscribe.
I don't have subscribers.
It puts you on the list, by the way.
Don't follow me because I'm a...
Don't follow me.
Yeah, it's part of that self-deprecation campaign that he's really crazy about. But please go follow him. Look for the interviews as they come out. I heard there's some bonsai professionals that would be really exciting to listen to.
Follow me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So.
Follow Adam Levine and follow Evan Baru.
Yeah.
And
follow everybody because we can learn from everybody.
Yep. So.
But the best answer is follow what you like.
Follow what you like. Yep.
That's the best
answer. But sometimes follow what you don't like. Because everybody has something to give you.
Except you've pervert.
Oh,
you know, magicist, I don't know. Yeah.
This podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
For BSF, let me get a little bit of, you know, because I think I talked to you about how you've gotten into it. And you guys have a lot of Florida history here that I haven't been really clear on. I know there's like, I've talked to the Knowltons before, knowing that has a deep history. Of course, the Weigerts have a deep history here. So, and then you being Adam Ask Why, being kind of another one of those leaders. And you mentioned...
I'm a leader.
And with your chainsaw crew. That's something that you've created recently.
I did not create it. They created it themselves.
So it became a thing. So they kind of gathered around you and said, let's do this thing.
Yes. Yeah. We have an event at the convention in Florida here where each club can compete against each other called Club Night. And my students wanted to have an opportunity to participate in that. So they created an official study group through BSF called the Chainsaw Gang.
Mm.
And Chainsaw is an acronym, but you can just use whatever words you want to use with a C-H-A-I-N-S-A-W.
Yeah, you guys did have like a banner. Yeah. Club Night, by the way, that was really inspiring.
That's a very unique thing to Florida.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe it? Do you want me to describe it?
Yeah, I feel like we should go through the entire event.
Okay.
Yeah, because that gets detailed in some. It's like so many brackets here as to how this convention works.
Yeah, there's so many moving pieces.
Exactly. So, of course, there's the headliners. And we also had young Troy here as well.
Yep, young Troy, yep.
Yeah, that's, you can't fail to mention that. And been seeing her a lot. In fact, thank you, Lou. Yeah. It's funny because I was just up in Washington, D.C. at the Potomac Bonsai Association Festival and also World Bonsai Day. And she was there.
Yep.
And she was like, I want to be in Florida. I'm like, geez, I just see her all the time. And she's been getting around and she did awesome, awesome demos, awesome workshops too as well. So yeah, me, Lo, and Young. And then you have the workshops and then all the work and all the demos that we do in between all the other events that are happening. So not to mention there's also the exhibit. Me and Rob Compensi got on a little while back and talked about.
Yes, what episode do you remember?
I always try to reference the episodes. It's not worth going through the list and looking.
Yeah, yeah.
We have some more diehard listeners that can go back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or they might be able to catalog way more than I do.
Yeah.
I just record these episodes in the moment and I let them kind of just ride. And then
I get that on my blog post. You remember that blog post you wrote about the Portia Licaria and it was upside down and sideways? So like, maybe?
Yeah. When you're producing so much content like that, too, it's hard to track back what was said. But we know that it was definitely before... before the inception, or not the inception, but this is already planned, obviously. But Rob's planned thing for the exhibit is very, very unique to the show, because this might be the first time that you guys have, like you said, you were like, okay, I gave Rob an idea and I just kind of guided it. And then wherever he kind of wrote it out in the end is kind of where he ended up.
Well, it was more that it was Rob's idea 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. I'm not good with math. Rob and I scouted a whole bunch of venues and institutions where we could put a huge show together for BSF. It did not come to fruition at that time, but that is a big glass of wine. I'm sorry, guys.
It's whatever.
No.
I don't have to drive tomorrow.
You don't have to drive? Yeah. You have to get back to your room, though. So Rob came up with a huge idea. We weren't able to do it at the time, but it was always in the back of my head. Rob Kempinski's creativity is almost boundless.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little scatterbrained. Sorry, Rob. But the idea was it's a modern art installation using bonsai as the inspiration.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the theme of the show was, let's do something different. Very straightforward saying on that. So it was very different because...
Have you ever seen an exhibit like that anywhere?
No, I have not. Yes. And I know, and I don't want to rag on Rob. I know he got up there and he was like, this is the best thing. This is the only thing that's been like this. And I know, like, I get that. And he's very, very deliberate in the way he talks about that. I mean, it was. I never seen an entire bonsai show that is dedicated to creative designs.
Creative displays.
And we went on and on about what that meant on his episode that he was on. But yeah, I told him at the end of it, I feel like, well, first of all, I asked him, I was like, do you feel like this was successful? How did you feel? And of course, Rob just keeps going on. He starts talking about something else.
He was like, oh, yeah, it was great. Oh, by the way, I was over at the Air Force Base.
Yeah, yeah.
They called up, it's the Space Force Base now.
And, yeah, exactly. He goes off about something like that, but I'm like, So I had to tell him myself personally, your show was a success. And I think that's all he wants to hear.
From everybody who talked to me.
Yeah.
It was a success.
Yes. Not just the show. The show is a bigger, broader image. His exhibit was a success.
Yeah. So the exhibit, so the Bonsai Societies of Florida, the mission of Bonsai Societies of Florida is to show bonsai to the world.
Hmm.
That's the only reason that we exist. Back in the 60s, the Orlando Club, the Miami Club, the Vero Club, the Tampa Club, I'm not going to mention names because some of those clubs have come and gone. They wanted to have the World Bonsai Federation, the World Bonsai from the IBC. Did I say that right? No, BCI.
BCI, sorry. Yeah. Bonsai Clubs International.
Bonsai Clubs International. They have a world show. Is it every year, every 2 years? Or?
I'm not sure anymore.
But they wanted to bring it to Orlando. So they got together. They did a practice run the year before. And then the next year, they brought in amazing artists. And that's where Bonsai Societies of Florida was created. Last year was our 50th convention, but our 51st or 52nd year. We unfortunately did not have a convention during COVID.
Mm.
So that's why we, you know.
Yeah, there was everything in the bonsai scene was affected by that. And,
yeah.
But no, that's a long track. And I know that, you know, where I'm from, Louisiana Bonsai, like Greater New Orleans Bonsai Society is probably one of the oldest clubs.
Yeah, and it's an amazing club. If you're in New Orleans and you're on, when did they meet?
It's not like we're going to shout it out and people are going to fly in and go see it. If they are in New Orleans, and there's plenty of members that do listen to the show already, and you guys know who you are. I mean, we got Bill Butler supporting the show and Randy Bennett. For crying out loud. So yeah, they know who they are. But yeah, it's an old club and reference. I'm trying to figure out where is the oldest club in Florida that you're aware of? Like, where's the furthest back date?
Well, the furthest back date, the club is not a continuous club. But there was a Tampa area club. I think it may have started in St. Petersburg, but now it's in, that same club is now in Clearwater. It did move to Tampa for a moment and went back to Clearwater. The Who Q Club. And I will say that slow for you, because if you say it too fast, Matt will edit that part out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it.
Who Q.
Like we're Austin Powers over here, right?
Now, the Miami Club, which dissolved and then was rebuilt again, is not continuous, but it's one of the oldest clubs. And the Central Florida Bonsai Club is one of the oldest clubs as well. And that's my club in Orlando.
So what's the date you approximately?
1969 was Central Florida Bonsai Club.
Nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's a little bit earlier than, I think it was 67, maybe, for New Orleans Club, I think, if I remember.
I have no idea.
I think it was one of the older clubs, but like that's definitely for the time for John Naka and Binoki to be traveling around. So
all the oldest clubs are in California, obviously.
In California, yeah. And then the South actually got a fair share of those masters early on.
Yes, John Naka, Binoki made it their mission to bring bonsai to everywhere. And we would have Binoki come in and John Naka come in every single year to teach us.
And
you know, I know John Naka is the grand master of United States Bonsai. And, you know, Binoki is one of his students.
This is like right-hand man. And then Roy
Nagatoshi.
Nagatoshi's still around.
Yeah, Roy Nagatoshi, in case no one knew, he was actually the advisor to the Karate Kid movie, and they'd be shooting, and he would take unfortunately, it was a fake tree, and they'd put real foliage on it that was cut off other trees, and that's what they were pruning in the movie.
Yeah, because they needed multiple takes. They can just prune that tree. That's actually pretty interesting. I like that.
Have you met him yet?
I saw him at a Texas convention. He was with Boone and Jennifer Price. At one point, that was actually a pretty interesting show.
Yeah, Roy is he always has a smile on his face.
Yep,
and he's always positive. He's a great guy.
He told some really nice, deep cut type stories about John and Ben when they used to hang out a lot.
Yeah,
it was really awesome just to hear him talk. I know walking up to him and being like, "Oh, hey, how are you going?" I mean, he's so old and he's been doing bonsai for so long, and you know, what am I going to say to him that's going to make a huge difference? He did acknowledge me to shake my hand.
Yep.
He's a nice guy, really nice guy. So. But yeah,
he has the cutest little mustache too.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Glad kind of that. Kind of like yours.
Kind of, I knew you were going to say that. So anyway, we're going to move on to the next thing that I was going to mention was we talk about John Naka.
Yep.
And there was actually, it blows my mind. Well, how these things happen sometimes. Like, there was a John Naka tree at this convention.
There were two John Naka trees.
There was two. Okay, what was the other one?
The other one was the Heathcote Botanical Garden. They brought one in. I'm trying to remember what the club that brought them in. I think it was, I don't know. I don't want to misspeak.
What type of tree was it?
It was, it used to be called Busita spinosa, but it's actually Terminalia molinetti. People call it a dwarf black olive or dwarf spiny olive. So everyone else who does not know bonsai, they call it a geometry because of the growth habit has angles and twists and turns.
It does have a really, really suitable growth habit that people like in bonsai a lot.
Say it, geometry.
Yeah. Geometry.
There you go.
I
made him say geometry.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That was the worst class I had. I almost failed it, and then I got an A+ on the...
I don't even remember geometry or...
So geometry means earth measure?
Yes. Okay.
So it's like squares and triangles. Did you fail kindergarten or something?
Dude, I'm surprised I even made it past high school. Because I tried college, of course, and I was like, nah, high school was tough, but just wait for college. And because I took all the art classes I could, and everything else was flunked out.
Yep.
But anyway, so yeah, there was John Naka trees at this convention. So they're all over. I've seen John.
Yeah, John, along with Jim Smith.
Jim Smith.
James J. Smith.
Yep.
John Naka is truly one of the originators of Florida bonsai.
And Jim Smith.
Jim Smith was... We call him the grandfather of Florida bonsai.
So he was y'all's John Naka in a way.
Yeah, and Jim Smith actually has in China, there is a plaque dedicated to Jim Smith in the way that he promoted tropical bonsai.
That's actually really awesome. I'm not aware of that. And then the Florida bonsai scene has a lot of deeper things that have happened. And that's why we do these shows and we do this podcast, is to capture some of that so I can just have it and we can get the information out there. Because, I mean, some of this is not written down.
No. Yeah. And that is one of the things that really hurts my heart, that a lot of the people who know these stories are not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps me awake at night.
Yeah.
And I don't have the energy or the talent to do the stories.
Yeah. And we capture as many of the stories as we can. And it's crazy you say that too, because we were up at the National Arboretum with Guy.
Yes.
I was with Guy Guidry. You weren't there, but I was there.
Well, I've seen,
you know what was going on. And we're walking around and Guy's like, oh yeah, amazing bonsai artist. He's dead. Amazing bonsai artist over here. Oh, he passed away. I remember that was like 2 years ago. And he's like, and then Guy stepped back. He's like, I'm one of the last living people with trees in this collection. And it was crazy because the generations are starting to cycle out. And there was a gap there between Guy and you're kind of in that middle gap. You're one of the few people that's in that age, that generational gap of it. Because you started getting the bonsai within the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. And there was a huge dip in bonsai interest and popularity.
You know, my first teacher, Ray Aldridge at Bonsai World, he almost closed his doors, and it was 9/11. It just decimated the scene.
Yeah. Nobody was interested in that. There was a lot of turmoil going on. And then Hurricane Katrina was happened around the time for us and obliterated a lot of bonsai collections around our time.
Oh yeah.
The
whole Randy Bennett story. That broke my heart.
Yeah. Not down to playing the other event that we mentioned, but Hurricane Katrina was a major disaster as well.
Yes.
And it did kill a lot of bonsai collections. I mean, Randy had Vaughn Banting trees right after Vaughn had just passed.
Oh, and the worst thing about it was that they survived the hurricane, but then something fell on one of his irrigation pipes and killed the trees.
Yep. And I also heard that other things happened like Dennis Burke.
Dennis Burke, I know.
He's a really, really awesome guy. He makes stands, and I've used his stands in the past.
We've sat down and had lunch together.
Yep. He's a nice guy. And he mentioned that, I mean, during that time when the water goes off, you have nothing to water your trees with except for the brackish water that was flooding everything.
Geez,
and salt water just kills most species. So
unless you have a buttonwood.
Yeah, unless
talk about that later.
Yeah, Buttonwoods. Yeah, we have to bring up Buttonwoods a little bit because we have a little bit of a mention of somebody else that obviously, yes, when we think of Florida Bonesai, we think of
one of my favorite
handful of people.
Mary Madison.
I had actually had somebody come up to me and told me that I will find the name later. I'm sorry. Apologize to if you're listening. I'm bad with names, great with faces. But yeah, somebody came up to me and said that. Man, for such a sweet, sentimental mention about Mary Madison, that was one way to make background noise for it.
Yep.
But yeah, he insisted. We went over to Mary Madison's house. I was over there just to meet her for the first time.
When was this?
This was probably, so she passed away a month later.
Oh, geez. I was like after the Orlando convention.
Yep. So yeah, she had been rolled in. Yeah. That was like the first time she'd been rolled in a wheelchair anywhere like that. She was she was a very strong woman.
She was the strongest woman I have ever known. She had bigger biceps than you did.
No, I believe it. Believe it. And at the time when I met her, it was unfortunate because, I mean, they rolled her out and she was strapped in and into the wheelchair. And she was like, let me get you a Corona. She was like, hey, daughter, Terry.
Terry. Yeah.
She was like, Terry, get them Coronas. Because it me, my friend, Nate.
Oh, man, Coronas. I got like Miller Lite or something like that.
I'll downplay you a little bit. But no, me, Nate Murray and Mark Coulomb, my OG, like way back show host, shout out to Mark. But so we showed up and she was like, get them beers. That was always her thing.
That was the thing. We'd have a field trip to Mary's house and she would feed us hot dogs, beer.
Yep. That's the American dream. American dream. But yeah, like, so we went in there and I remember like there was the mention from this Bonesai club member, names escape me. It's worth mentioning though, but this is part of the connection was like, she mentioned that she wanted to tell me that her son was successful and he had just gotten a new job and he had just graduated from college. But he remembers the day that me and him and Mary Madison actually repotted and worked on a tree together. It was like one of the last trees that she worked on. And that was very, very special to him. And she wanted me to know that he wanted to be here and say, hey. And it sounds like it's so shitty for me to not know the name, obviously, because I've met so many people in Bonesai. But that's one of those moments where you realize how much this means to people, how much deeper it goes. I mean, Mary Madison was Buttonwood Queen, undeniable.
Buttonwood Queen, yeah.
And I mean, how many of her trees were on display at this show? I mean, I heard there was quite a few. It's just like John Naka back in the day, like John Naka told her that she was a Bonesai master, basically.
Yes.
At the time he had seen what she could collect. And what she was capable of doing with Buttonwoods. And
Not just Buttonwoods, but bald cypress.
Anything she had access to, like the way that she dealt with material and the way she dealt with collected material.
I actually have two trees that are non-Mary specific trees. I have a willow leaf ficus that I got from her. And I have a winged elm, or as we say in the South, the wanged elm.
I was going to say Wahoo, but whatever.
Wahoo, there you go. and I don't think any... Well, I know one other man, his name is George. We went over to Terry, to Mary's house after she passed away, and we helped Terry clean up because Terry herself had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and we cleaned up the place, and Terry was generous enough to give one of the trees that Mary had to him.
Yeah. That's very special.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
shout out to George.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's those things like we keep alluding back to it. It's like these little tiny sweet moments that make it, at the end of the day, it matters. Cause like,
yes,
that's, I mean, we're coming off the back end of this convention. So we're all sappy right now.
Obviously. Oh yeah. Yeah. What did I say? I said that, the world is people and we should appreciate the time that we have with people. We don't have 10 years with people. We have an hour here and an hour there, an hour there. And it's just, it is a tragedy that people, they don't appreciate it.
Yeah. And Bonesai is just like for a tree, you're thinking about training and time. That's just a blink of the eye because you're like, I've been working on this tree for 10, 20 years, you're like, holy shit, I've been working on this tree for 10, almost 20 years. Yep. Yeah, some stuff like that happens. And I bet you can think back about trees that you've had in development. And I followed your posts and I can see like how far back you go with these trees and you can see the evolutions and you think back, oh, that's a lot of time, right? Yeah. So
in the most favorite trees I have may not be the best trees, but they're the trees that people gave me or I got from them.
Yeah. So that's funny you mentioned that because I brought a tree to this convention intentionally to make Laurent or Lo uncomfortable.
Yes. He's coming.
Speak about me. This is the question.
No, there's a bald cypress in my collection that you're not fond of, but
the one looks like shit.
Yes, always.
The one is in the exhibition, the BSF.
Yes.
Okay, that's exactly the one looks like shit.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I brought that tree because it is special to me. It was a gift to me from Nate because I had been working on it.
That's emotional.
Yes, very. But no, I can't ever give away.
But it still looks like shit.
Yeah, I can never give away trees that are closely connected to me. Like, and that's what I was going to mention. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because I know if I don't dial him back, he's going to keep delivering. But I'm going to bring you in at the end. I will let you know.
As long as he doesn't give me a kiss at the end, that'd be fun.
Oh, you're going to be smooching noises.
Oh, man, that beard is very prickly. Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's like Uncle Joe running.
After how sweet everybody's been, I think there is going to be. Anyway.
Geez.
No, but yeah, there are trees that are sentimental. But for sure, like, I've been trying to narrow down my collection. And then a good friend of mine, Dawn, was like, do you want the first bald cypress that I collected? Bald cypress? And I'm like, why the hell not?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was like, but she also had, it was too big for her. She's had a knee replacement. Her husband just had a knee replacement. Yeah. And she was like, I can't handle this tree anymore. But I was like, first bald cypress you've collected with you and your husband, a big tree?
Yeah.
Yes. And so it's stuff like that. And that's the stuff you hold on to.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And you try to fluff out the collection, sell things every once in a while. But yeah, those are the trees that end up at these shows most of the time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's the history of the tree, but it's also the history of the person.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You have that person, it's their spirit within that tree. And that's why there's a provenance in trees, like any of the trees that have been touched. And there's a lot of trees down in Florida that have been touched by multiple people in very special ways.
We have been very fortunate that we've had so many masters and artists come in and teach us.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we're actually pretty unique in the country. Like that. I mean, we have people from all over the country come instead of, say, like a regional California, regional New England area or regional Midwest area.
Hmm.
We have everybody come because it's something that I have taken up as a mantle upon my shoulders is to, and this is why I invited you.
Yep.
We need people like you with passion and talent. In the rest of the world.
You're gonna make me blush. All right, let's move on to the next part. Let's move on to the next part. No, I'm just joking.
He is blushing.
No. It's usually when I do things like this and people start kind of going into that. I understand it's appropriate, but I'd like to keep myself humble on it too. I don't want to get a big head. You know, I work with somebody that tends to get like that sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I don't want to say his name, but he knows who he is. He never listens to the show, but I love you, guy.
Does he know how to use the podcast kind of?
No, he doesn't know how to dial in and listen to the AM radio.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So maybe he does. I mean, that's definitely his time period. But I mean, he would be like, okay, that's a stupid joke. It's been a long night. It's been a long weekend.
Yes.
Every day of this has been. We wake up at like what? I'm sure you don't sleep often with during.
Yeah, yeah, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and I go to sleep at. It is now 12:06 p.m.
Yep, that's why
Monday.
We don't want to run too late because everybody's hanging out. Everybody's very chill, very patient.
They're drinking enough and keeping them quiet.
Yeah, yeah, we have them occupied.
Yeah.
They have their own things going on. This is an interesting environment. I've never had a group of people hanging out. It's usually just me and Carmen or me and Mike.
Well, this is kind of like a real, like a Joe Rogan podcast or something.
Yeah. But Joe Rogan goes on for another 3 hours after this.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. I need to go to sleep.
Talk about Becky's. Remember, she has something to say.
Yeah, that's the thing with podcasts. You're always like, you know, it would be interesting if we just dropped in somebody else. No, man, people don't usually like that. Just because they're here, they're just listening, hanging out. But yeah, it is interesting because the only other time that we've done something similar to this was whenever I did Say Bonsai Live, recording of it. And yeah, it felt organic. It felt open, yeah. But it didn't flow like this. This feels a lot more genuine because everybody, we're all in that summer camp mode right now.
Yeah, there's eight people in the background in case you didn't know.
Yeah, we're all in that feel-good kind of energy, and I wanted to capture it and, you know, and I wanted to kind of close with talking to you about, I know we're already running to over an hour just about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, whenever you're hanging out, it just, time just goes by and by.
I haven't finished this bottle of bourbon here.
I know.
So
yeah, like, we're not trying to get you aggressively drunk on this particular recording.
That was a recording with Laurent, yeah.
No, but we can still have, this is more conversation. We can definitely have you on to talk more techniques and stuff later on, but I do want to concentrate on BSF.
BSF, yeah.
For just a few more moments with you before I let you go. And then I want to get Laurent and then let him talk and have his piece.
You're going to let him talk?
Exactly.
Good.
And we'll probably have to make a bonus episode.
We apologize, guys.
Yeah. You know? But anyway, but for BSF, so you said this is 3 years for you that you've done this personally.
Well, as the chair.
Yeah.
I was co-chair several years and I was co-chair with Catherine, and then she's making me do it all by myself, except for all the stuff that she does.
Short. Wait, I'm gonna have you on in just a second. Make this short, okay? Okay. I have to dial you back a little bit. Okay.
I'm like a shadow.
You are literally my shadow right now.
It's going to whisper in your ear.
Yeah. As far as BSF goes, for your third time, how does this year compare to the previous times that you feel?
Well, last year was the 50th convention.
So that was a hallmark. And y'all did
hallmark.
Y'all rolled out the cloud and the board documentary.
Yeah, so the cloud, have you talked about the cloud before?
I mentioned it. Yes, it was brought up when we mentioned Florida Documentary Crew, and they said, that's awesome. And they already know. And
yeah, Antonio, amazing man.
Yep.
And so the cloud is, it was the very first willow leaf ficus ever anywhere, as far as we can tell.
In Florida.
No, they do not know where
in existence. It's kind of like a legend that it came out of that tree.
Everything came from that. There's no doubt about that because they do not know where it grows naturally.
Some kind of an immaculate exception kind of feeling.
It could be. Yeah. Joe Samuels would visit. I think it's in Homestead. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, that's fine.
But he visited this nursery, not a bonsai nursery, and he would help weed and stuff like that. And it took several years for the owner to give him a cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And from that cutting, and eventually he got the original tree. But the tree came in a just a shipment, and nobody knew where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it might be a sport from Ficus pertusa,
mm-hmm.
which is a South American species. The documents actually say it is a tree of unknown provenance. Mm-hmm. They don't know where it grows. They don't know anything. So it originated in Florida. Joe Samuels was the man who made the cloud.
Yeah.
And the cloud is the very first willow leaf ficus. Some people call it nerifolia. Some people call it salicifolia.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the horticulturalists, who are paid a lot more money than you or I.
And bonsai people. That mess with them the most.
It is Ficus salicaria, which ficus is a ficus, which is another name. It's the Roman name for fig, Latin name for fig.
Yep.
Salicaria is literally willow leaf.
Yeah, it is. They just call it straight up just willow leaf with that.
Willow leaf, yeah. Yep. So those who call it narrow leaf, I just, you know, yeah, like the correct.
And it does have the shape of willow. That's to be
fair. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, so following, like, you had to follow up that convention with this one.
Yes. So I figured, you know.
Yeah.
I think it worked. What do you think?
This was very fun. That's all it is. Like when I did Say Bonsai, I said, did everybody have fun? Everybody was like, hell yeah.
And that's really all that matters. We don't have to make history. We just have to have fun and have enough money to make it next year.
That's why you do the auctions and all the extra things and
the convention pays for itself.
Yeah,
and then that's all that matters.
Yeah, and shout out to Chris Crescenza for doing the.
Chris Crescenza. I was talking to his wife. It's like when he was doing the auctioneering,
yep,
that is not like him at all. She's like, this is not my husband.
Oh, this is his first time.
No, no, he's done it before at other places, but this is his first time at BSF.
And, okay.
I mean, he was an amazing auctioneer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's hilarious, yeah.
And that's what it takes. You, we're not trying to do something like we're not trying to jack up the price and really go fast. And you get auctioneer. Yeah. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be encouraging because everybody knows that you're donating.
Yes.
It's not about trying to get the tree you want. It's about donating to the cause. That's always been what's most important about this. As far as the auctions go, it's supposed to fund for next year. So, and Rob alluded to the theme for next year. Everybody's speculating because he said it's small.
Oh, no, that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the. I thought Rob did mention it.
No, I mentioned it.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah. Rob did the exhibit.
Yeah. So I thought he had an idea what it was going to be. So I apologize. So that was you that said
that. That was me. So the idea is that, as big as we've gone last year with the 50th and this year with Let's Do Something Different, I was thinking maybe going smaller.
And that's a hint at
that's
what
a
the
hint.
Theme.
Yeah.
It's not confirmed.
So those of you who can't carry big trees, maybe you
this
can
might
come
be
here.
Your year.
Yeah. And we accept anybody in the exhibit. If it's a good enough tree.
That's clear. Yeah, because the creative exhibit.
Oh, yeah. The
that
creative.
Was, that felt very free-for-all. There was. Yeah, if Rob liked your idea, he was all about it.
Yeah, we had people from North Carolina, the Cape Fear Bonsai Society. Mm-hmm. It is weirdo from Louisiana. I don't know. Yeah,
I know. But does out of state stuff like that, is this a draw for out of state?
It has happened before. Do you know Boyd Snellgrove?
Yes, definitely. He supports the show, and also he won People's Choice at Say Bonsai.
Really?
Yeah, this past year.
So he has actually shown twice at the Epcot exhibit.
Awesome. That's really good. Yeah, I know you only have to be a Florida member in order to show your tree at Disney World at Epcot Center.
Yeah. If you have a tree that you'd like to show and could live in Florida for about 3 months, if you become a BSF member and you submit and you get the tree to Epcot, and it's accepted. It's a jury decision.
Yeah. You want to shout out Larry real quick?
Oh, yes. Thunderstark Bonsai. Larry Nader is taking over the Epcot chair position.
Yeah.
Paul Peichel, who has worked for 22 years diligently and thanklessly almost, is stepping down, and I think I'm going to rope him into something in BSF, something else in BSF.
Obviously, that's goes.
poor Larry, I feel sorry for him, but we're going to abuse him.
Oh, hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
He's sitting in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a big family here. So.
Yeah. Obviously, that's one of the things. I go to Texas and I see a big family, and I come to Florida and I see a big family, and it reminds me of, I want clubs to feel more. Feel more what this is, because I know that there's people who said that they need help with their clubs, that they feel like they're reviving a club.
Yes.
And Florida clubs have been strong. Texas clubs have been strong. And there's been ups and downs. There's been ebb and flows with these clubs, but there's always been a strong scene, and there's been a strong culture within these clubs. And that's very, very important.
Yeah. One of the duties of our first vice president is actually to help the clubs organize and put together shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bonsai Societies of Florida has guidelines that we use. In like I said, the mission is to show bonsai to the world.
Yep.
And that's what we're trying. And, sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't, but we're human and we have other things that we have to do, like jobs or family
No, I get where you're going with that. It's late. We're right where we need to be right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is our crowd has been very attentive, and everyone's.
Well, that's funny. Looking at your time on your thing, and it's still New Orleans time.
That's Louisianian time. But yeah, no, I would say, this is my first time headlining a show. So
it will not be your last.
Yep.
I promise you.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, with my,
just be true and be honest, and you will be a star.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam. And here's something that I've been alluding to in other episodes, but I do want to mention, if you've listened to this episode this far into the episode, here's something fun that I haven't really mentioned on the show yet. I have a second child coming in December.
Ooh.
So yeah, it'll be a challenge for sure.
Oh yeah.
And that's why I'm scared about the traveling part. So we'll be looking at it.
If you'd like some tips, I'll tell you what not to do.
Yeah. And we'll have to do that off record.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because I feel like that would become like a...
that'll be, you know, another 2-3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You don't need to hear about that.
Yeah, that's a lot more stuff than we need to talk about.
There's been times I've been watching FaceTime of, like, my daughter becoming a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in Cincinnati with my friend Evan Luce crying on the screen watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Don't fuck me up right now.
Take another drink of that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've been sipping my wine pretty good. But yeah, I do want to mention to you personally, Adam, that I really, really appreciate the opportunity for what you've done to help me get to this point with headlining my first show. That was really awesome. So I really, really appreciate that. And I had a lot of great feedback. Like everyone, and when I came here and did my tour in January, everybody was so positive and so happy. And I was, when you asked me to headline the show, I was like, yes, because I knew this scene was strong. I knew everybody is so generous and so welcoming. And that's exactly what, like Lowell's going to, you know, come on in a little while here, and he's going to gush about how it's about community, yep, which he normally doesn't do.
Oh, really?
And you guys made him tear up.
Well, I just need to get him to move to Florida.
Exactly.
But he has to learn how to speak English first.
But the French countryside, according to him, and I can believe him, is so beautiful. Really hard to pull him away from that.
So what we need to do is just do a show at his house.
Yeah, I guess.
We could do that.
You're making a wild suggestion. But, I mean, there's been wilder suggestions where me and Carmen and Mike have talked about doing a live recording together or working together in shows, and it's already happened. Yeah. But France is, that's a little ways away.
Hey, it's France.
France. No.
France.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. Laurent has been picking on us over our French. He just says, just speak English. Speak English.
No, everybody knows from listening to the show for so long that my English is adequate at most. So, especially with pronouncing people's names. So, yep. No,
Pronouncing.
Exactly. See, you can give me a hard time about it, but yeah, Everybody knows. That's why they listen to the show, because obviously if they didn't listen, they wouldn't put up with this. But anyway, thank you so much, Adam, for filling us in. Yeah. And let us know, dude. And like I said, obviously, I've been talking about having you on for a while, but I mean, there's more to be said. Obviously, we can talk more tropical stuff. I mean, we talk with Mike every once in a while, and he gives us some positive feedback and stuff about, you know, tropical bonsai and techniques and stuff like that. Positive feedback. I'm tired. I'm thinking about, like, yeah, what I said. My brain, like, it like clicked back one, like, you're, like, you're, a minute. You're, and my brain was like,
hello.
Yeah, it was like, say that again. Yep. So anyway, so before we let you guys go for this section of this episode, because there's going to be a bonus one recorded, which I'm going to have to go through, but that's fine because I love Low. It's no offense to you, but I know we're about to have an episode that I need to capture anyway, because this is going to be one of the last times. So you got to do that. So you guys look for that one. It's going to be a second flush episode, basically. They need to mention our patrons. You guys get a shout out at the end of every episode. I'm going to let Adam read through it. So you read here, and I'm just going to scroll down as you go. So starting with
Jamie Harrington, Gino N, Doug Unkenholtz.
We call him ukulele because we got
a ukulele
at Say Bonsai. It's in
Oh, jeez. Tree Herder, whoever that is. Ethan. I know Ethan. Ethan, I can't. Koff or Co. Mark Ty, DK, Michael Y.
Way.
Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy. Joseph Giordano, Clint Myers.
Nice attempt.
Gio Pirel.
Yep.
Mark, is it French? Malay?
Yeah.
Or Malay?
Okay. It's probably Mal. I say Malati, but it's probably Malay.
Nick. Hi, Nick. Wallace Woods Pottery, Bonsai Samurai, Radtron Studio, Wesley Thompson, Joseph Dominique, David Smith. That's an easy one. Eduardo Fernandez, Merrick Bonsai Pottery. Oh, I need to meet you.
Yep, Byron, shout out.
Yeah, Byron, yep.
You. Yep.
Chantel Wynn, Hist Warrior. Does that mean like a history warrior?
I don't know what that is, but that's the famous stump shirt for my podcast show.
Oh, really?
He designed it, yes.
Oh, that is a beautiful shirt. You need to send me one, please.
Yeah.
Christina Carfora, David J. Bertoncini, or Cini, Gilbert Juarez, Sean, Shaman?
Nope, that's Sean Seaman.
Seaman. Oh, so it's not the Irish Shaman, it's Seaman. Okay. Joshua Roth Limited. Thank you, guys. Nancy Hoffman, Nate Murray, Ben Crehan, Micah Ruse, Timothy Arsenal.
This is the followers.
Yep. Chris Fasoon.
Yep.
J.A.S. Potts or Joss Potts.
I say it like that, Joss Potts.
Bonsai Marine. AC. Oh, Antonio, my friend. Luis Torres. Karen Cogswell. She's one of my students. Austin Adkins. David N. Chase. Greenwich Gardens. I've been there.
I'm in Jamaica.
Backyard Bonsai Australia. I've seen them on Facebook. Justin Knight, Joel Jenkins, Snappy Cheppers, Joshua Bentley, and Ricky Ruins.
One more. No, two more.
Boyd's. Hey, Boyd. How you doing? Vicky. She was one of my students during COVID. Vicky, it was the Porcia Lacaria study group we did on, it was Zoom meetings we did what's his name? Jerome.
Yes.
Is that it?
And I wanted you to go through that list because you can see too, there was a lot of people you knew. And I actually met a few of the people. They said, oh, I listen to your show. I love going to the events.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you guys come in and you're like, by the way, I've listened to your show, and I'm like, that is more than flatters me.
Yeah, he gives you a free t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, no. They come out of pocket. I have to charge for them. But anyway, you guys know how it is. But yeah, we do have our specimen best buds. One more shout out. UN, Rick from Australia, Mark McWilliams, Jay, David Tolbert, and of course, how can we forget Bill Butler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's holding it down all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bill, last time I was there, he went to a Chinese food place in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
Always, yeah. There's all kinds of good eats out there and not Cajun culture.
Shane Miles.
Yeah, these are older. Yeah, yeah. So this is up on the list.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ebb and flows like that. Yeah. But anyway, so if you guys want to check out, so this is like a multi-part. Thank you, Lou. It's okay. Yeah, go ahead. So you can get a towel too. So yeah, this is like a multiple mention type thing because normally they do shout outs for where to check people out. We've mentioned adamaskwhy.com several times, but also if you can tell people how to look into BSF and be part of the convention for next year, where can they check that out at?
The website is, so think that Bonsai is the most important thing that we're talking about. So it's bonsai-bsf.com. That's our website. We also are on Facebook, Bonsai Societies of Florida. And we're on Instagram too. We do have a Facebook group, a YouTube, but we don't really post much. But right now, if you go to the Bonsai Societies of Florida Facebook, you will see all the beautiful trees that are at Epcot that Paul Pichel is posting for us.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, of course, if they want to see more of your content, we mentioned it before, but do you have any other... Salami. Do you have any other outlets for Adam Ask Why? Is it just predominantly just Adam Ask Why?
Well, there's a YouTube, but I have not posted that in years.
Yeah. Thank you. And if you guys want to see more of my content, you can go over to underhillbonsai.com. You can see some articles that I've written. We're inspired by Adam's stuff as well. And yeah, just so you know, we mentioned that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I read Harry Harrington's stuff early on as well.
Yeah, I love Harry.
So you guys were my early reads. But yeah, you can see how I write. And if you refer to Adam, you can probably see where the humor comes from. But also, you can go over to Underhill at YouTube. And you can see videos that I made about a lot of Bald Cypress stuff. Bald Cypress, I always say it in every episode. I say Bald Cypress, Bald Cypress, Bald Cypress every single time because obviously I'm obsessed with that speed.
Bald Cypress.
Yeah, it's whatever. But yeah, and then for Carmen Leskovinsky, you can go over to Becoming Bonsai and check out what she's doing either on Instagram. She's creating a website. I'm not sure if that's launched yet. Knowing that the way that things have been going, probably not. Sorry, Carmen, I'm just dogging on you right now because you're not on this episode currently. But also, you can head on over to the Purple Pot Society and support women in bonsai becoming a member over there. Support women in bonsai. You don't have to be a woman to be part of the group as well. You
can remember the president of Bonsai Societies of Florida is Catherine Harris.
There you go. Yep. Shout out to Catherine Harris. So there are definitely bonsai women out there, and support them by going over to purplepotsociety.org. And also, if you want to check out Mike Lane and any of the content that he's created, you can go to Mike Lane Bonsai, either on his Kitsune.
Kitsune.
Yeah, he's changed it since we started. Actually, it used to be Mike Lane Bonsai
Mike
Studio.
Mike Lane Bonsai Shohin Studio.
Yeah, it used to be that. Now it's Kitsune Bonsai on Instagram.
The word.
Yeah, and then you can go over to kitsunebonsai.com, see anything he offers, online courses, schedule, and where he will be, because he traveled a lot, and we rarely have him on the show. We miss you, Mike, and we will hopefully have you on the next one. But yeah, this has been a great episode. This has been this is going to be an editing nightmare for Matt. He's probably just going to feed it back to me with a really mixed audio like it is.
And we're in FU,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, we've had tracks where it's like people recorded from their phones.
Oh, yeah.
We've had people with really awful internet reception. So this is probably not going to be too bad.
Unfortunately, if I'm at home, it'll probably be on my phone if you contact me back.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I know.
I do not know how to use a computer. I know how to use my iPhone. So all the Android people are saying,
You think it would be common that for me as being a millennial and then being a... chronically online that I would know how to use a computer, but I don't.
You know, my first son is a millennial.
Okay, so we are at the end of this episode for Adam and the BSF convention. It's been an amazing time, and thank you so much again, Adam.
Oh,
for
thank you so much.
For sure, and we'll say goodbye to the folks. We'll catch you guys next week, so you guys have a great rest of y'all's week.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Peace.